grateful to the loving Father for the privilege of being here together again. It's a sweet time to come south, and I always have to say every time we're here, the first day, the first convention you had when Brother Wolf and I journeyed down on the bus at 7 at night till 7 in the morning to be at your convention, and we have sweet memories and often have attended them as much as possible, and the Lord is good to us. I, too, bring the love of Vancouver Ecclesia, who had voted such. And we must not forget our son and family. They, too, sent their love. And, of course, many of you have known them when just a little babe in arms and have seen them grow. And while some have not consecrated necessarily, we can assure you that they were truth young people and often defend the truth at their work and otherwise in daily life. And some of them have a technique, knowing that if they engaged in conversation directly with the personnel at work, might not go very far. But they would often say, well, my mom and dad believe thus and so. And boy, I'll tell you, it works time and time again. Takes it off their shoulder. They can tell you all about mom and dad's beliefs. And it goes a long way. So there is wisdom in youth, isn't there? So we are thankful ourselves, Ruth and I, for the privilege of fellowshipping and studying together with you. And as the hymn says, still there's more to follow, and not until the 3 days are up will this convention end as such, and still it'll be true. Still there's more to follow. And we're grateful to the Lord because of that fact, and our anticipation is always reaching out. It's the Lord's arm is never shortened, is it? Well, you know, all the brethren serving always get a little puzzled as to what subjects to choose. And often months in advance, they're thinking of this and that and so on, and maybe research a subject and then get down to business on it. Pray the Lord's help. But this certainly was made simple for me this time. With that heading across the top of your program, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That indeed simplified the whole matter. And I believe it is true that all Bible students, and when I received this assignment, I thought, my goodness, I think we're kind of going to go to a school down there in Salem. And I'm going to think in terms in our discussion together in this working paper of 2 Timothy 2:15 that we're in classes during a convention, whether it's here or other occasions. This particular time, for the 3 days, we're in school together. The assignments, the subject matters are all contributing to us as pupils, which we are taking notes, and we'll go home and, by the Lord's grace, hope to put these lessons into practice. Now, every Bible student, every new student who had made his consecration to the Lord, an introduction into the school of Christ, soon learned through this working paper in our enrollment in the School of Christ that this text was going to have a continual application in our life. It wasn't a one-time text or an occasional text that would suddenly appear in our schooling process and learning process. We were going to find that it was on an ongoing basis that 2 Timothy 2:15 would reach out and touch every day of our life. Now, not all texts in the Bible are like that. Some have occasion for particular trials or experiences, which they surface and we lay hold upon them. But we will find that this is an all-embracing text, our theme text. Our discussion paper then, 2 Timothy 2:15, we might say was one of the first working papers we received in our first semester in the School of Christ. And as we enrolled, we were told and we learned that there would be no skipping of grades, that graduation would not come unless we took all the courses and undertook to complete the courses, that the enrollee would be required to study all areas of the Christian faith. There would be no specializing in physics only in a course, or in mathematics, or in the computer field. It would be a case of studying all areas, all courses involving the Christian life. We also learned that there is no such thing as compassionate leave from this school of Christ. And we also learned that the enrollee was enrolled for life. And the consecrated soon found out that really what they were is what a lot of people call career students. They go to school all the time. And that's exactly what it is turning out to be. There are brethren here that have been in the school of Christ for a half a century or more. Others much less. But we find out with this text then that we are enrolled for life in the school of Christ. Now in this school of Christ, which predates our day and goes away, way back, some nearly 2,000 years ago, we would like to review some of the incidents that can contribute in the history of this church, of the school of Christ, that we can incorporate into our lives day by day, and maybe new ones can get a few hints from some important prerequisites to the pupil to assist him or her that they might graduate and get a passing mark. To commence this, we would like to go back to Acts, the 8th chapter, and the 26th to the 35th verses. And there is a fundamental starting point is established for all the pupils. If the pupil, or shall we say, as our text says, if the laborer referred to in 2 Timothy 2:15, is to successfully produce a workman who will not be ashamed. Not be ashamed in that they will achieve a passing mark. The passing mark might not be 100% all A's, but a passing mark, a line acceptable to the master in this school, that he sees the effort put forth by each pupil. And while there might be the varying levels of A, B, C, and so on, they will all have a passing mark. They must achieve that in the school of Christ. So in Acts 8, 26, 35 is a wonderful scene that took place. And I'm sure you would love to have been there when this experience was happening. Let's start with 26. And we'll pick up our lesson here of a very important factor, which is prayer prerequisite in the school of Christ for every pupil. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go towards the south and unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Just picture yourself in a blazing sun, and there's a carriage, and a wealthy man, his horses or camels, whatever, are towing it along, and he's been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he's returning. And he was returning, verse 28, and is sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither. Didn't take his time, you see, very important. He ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said unto him, Understandest what thou readest? What an interesting experience. And he said, How can I? That's our key. That's our lesson. If 2 Timothy 2:15 is to have its work in our lives, how can I? Except a man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. An all-important feature that as we enter the school of Christ or encouraging others to do so, We see a wise course by Philip. Questioning. Understandest what thou readest? That reminds me of Brother Russell said, it's a good way to witness to the truth, by question form. And here Philip was practicing that back there. And the answer was beautiful from a very talented and educated man, looking after all the treasures of the queen back in Egypt. How can I accept a man should guide me? What a beautiful spirit that was demonstrated here. And we find that Philip was ready to dispense the truth to him. Like Brother Russell said, freely we have received and freely we give. That spirit of giving. So you and I then should be ready to find those and alert who are on the campus of life, who are inquiring. And as we are surrounded today with all the problems that are plaguing the civilized world and the uncivilized world, the best statesman in the world cannot handle a situation. It's causing people to do some thinking. And we, of all people, have the answer. And we should be ready to give them an answer concerning the wonderful divine plan of the ages, which will remedy all their problems and introduce that glorious era of the physical and mental restitution under the administration of the ancient worthies and above them, the church in glory. We should be ready to give that message. We should be like Philip then in that spirit and readiness of mind. As the Holy Spirit guided Philip, our being here today in the school of Christ, we should take encouragement that somebody likewise was chosen providentially to join thyself to you, to you, to you, to me. Our being here is not accidental. We have been called of God into the school of Christ on a continual basis, career students, learning. Still, there's more to follow. We never achieve in this school a satisfactory condition in which we can say, well, I can fold up my books and I don't need to learn anymore. It is a learning, constant learning day by day. Another hint to this beautiful question, understandest what thou readest? But the answer really is most beautiful. In verse 31, and he said, how can I then, except someone should guide me? And he desired that he should come up and sit with him. And of course the outcome was that Philip opened his mouth and he began to talk about the book of Isaiah. And wouldn't you have loved to have been there and listened into that? And through this wonderful encounter, the persuasion of Philip concerning Isaiah, all about Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, the deliverer of the world, who died as the Lamb, the encounter was, as they came to a pool of water, Philip says, let's stop here. And they did. And they got down, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, not you and I. You and I don't have that quick response to our efforts, for sure. But we should be ready to dispense to those that are yearning and asking the questions in our day. It is part of our privilege and responsibility. And just as the Word of God burned within the eunuch, Brother Russell mentioning in June 19th manna, which we just had, light and truth is sown for the righteous, for these pupils, and the gladness, the joys of the truth, not just the technical ability to answer them, but get the feeling of it, the gladness of the truth, for the upright in heart. And here is a man, a eunuch, who was upright in heart, with the right qualities for entrance into the school of Christ. And as Brother Russell suggests then, that the true children or pupil of God love the truth because they have an affinity for it. When they have found the truth, they recognize its value and they prize it and they meditate upon it. Just like that eunuch was doing on his own, not cognizant of Philip or the providence of the Lord that now was going to act in his life, he was conning it over and enjoying Isaiah to the best of his ability. But he knew he needed an instructor. So did we. And they say, this pupil, it is just like God. It is the manifestation of his glorious goodness, the reflection of his loving, benevolent, wise, and just character. And therefore they love the truth and the God who gave it, and they treasure it up in their hearts. That's a good, solid enrollee or pupil in the school of Christ. Just like Philip took advantage of that opportunity. And that beautiful answer, how can I? You see, he was going to enter the school of Christ now, and the Lord was dealing with him. And what a beautiful, humble spirit that he had in this inquiring attitude. And our entry into the school of Christ must be the same as the beginner. We do not enter to teach the teacher. We are told that we must take this learning posture all through our lives. Isaiah the prophet 28:9-10 says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isn't that beautiful? A little here and a little there. Those are the ones in the school who recognize that they are pupils, that one is your master and ye are all brethren. One is our master. And if we maintain that spirit, except you become as little children, you shall in no wise inherit the kingdom or receive a passing mark. This is essential. Because we have seen with some unfortunate in the school of Christ that the longer they're in, the more capable they think they become, to the point where they can achieve their own writings. They dare to change the divine plan. They have lost that spirit of being just a pupil, no matter how long we are being in the school of Christ. Now the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:13-17 gives us an additional hint of an area that we must still remain as learners. He says in Romans 10:13-17, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We need to be taught. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. The sequence of growth. Faith is necessary, and faith cometh through the word of God. Now, faith is the catalyst to the pupil who will bring all the instruction together. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God except by the exercise of faith. Throughout the time of enrollment of the pupil in the school of Christ, faith remains from the beginning to the end of his course and his learning process. Faith is essential. Not only faith in the sense of belief and trust, but the faith once delivered unto the saints must remain as such. When you start school, year by year, you just don't throw out the books. You retain those books. They are books of learning in which you learn from. Let us retain also the truth that started us in this school of Christ. Now, in another figure, if you build your own house, many brethren have, and Ruth and I did, and Vernon Wilf did, it is of utmost importance that you obtain a manual from the city. There are building codes and laws and regulations, and you can get into a lot of trouble. You may start to build some portion of your house, and you find that when the inspector comes, he says, look, you haven't got a flue in that chimney. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, that's too bad. You pull it down. We may lose, and I've seen in the construction building business, I have seen chimneys that have been required to be pulled down. That's cost and time and energy loss. When you and I are building, we are to build as well. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11, we read, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Inspector, sounds like an inspector talking here. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it is important then in our, as pupils, or in this figure of Paul, that we have a proper foundation to build upon. A little poem suggests this learning process in the construction of our faith house or our period of learning in the school of Christ, a measure of caution. Everything is done so rapidly today. You go down the street and there's an old house there and you come back in 2 hours and it's torn down and it's gone. You come back in the morning and there's a foundation, forms are being laid. And you come back the next day, lo and behold, the framework isn't up. And within a month or two, there's a house on that corner there. It's unbelievable. But listen, to the Christian builder, let them which would build castles in the air vault thither without step or stair. Instead of feet to climb, take wings to fly, and think their turrets top the sky. Let me lay my foundations deep, and learn before I run to creep. Who digs through rocks to lay his groundworks low, may in good time build high and sure, though slow. In the school of Christ, there is no form of crash program. Our lives are laid out for the period of our lives as the Lord deems that length of time is necessary. Steady growth, though, is essential in the school of Christ. In the manner of June the 4th, again just recently passed, which is a favorite of ours, Sister Tench of Vancouver class moved to Winnipeg, passed away, and this used to be her favorite. And it goes like this, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing the Epiphania of Jesus Christ. It is your faith that is on trial now. In the calmer days when the sun of favor shone brightly upon you and you were quietly laying the foundation of a knowledge of truth in the school of Christ, in grades 1 and 2, growing, yes, growing, and you were rearing the superstructure of Christian character, now you are in the furnace to be proved. Summon, therefore, all your courage. Fortify your patience. Nerve yourself to endurance. Hold fast to your hope. Call to mind the promises. They are still yours. And cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. And quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And faith has gained her victory. From this we glean that the pupil in the school of Christ then is going to be in it for a long, long time. And that's what we must fortify ourselves to. Because some of us and the brethren, which we learned already, were prepared to go home in 1914. And take yourself back there and get the psychological feeling. Some even having sold homes and everything they had, like in Brother Miller's time and Brother Russell's time, they did the same. Prepared to go home and meet their Lord and move into their new house that the Lord was constructing, 2 Corinthians 6:1-10. But it didn't happen. That's a shocker. But the passing of time then was the test. The passing of time, and then they began to change things and tinker with the divine plan of the ages and portions of it. A most dangerous thing to do. No, they had to readjust their sights. But it was a time of testing. We have learned, brethren, I trust, through hindsight, to know and take note that the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. And God is in no hurry, who from everlasting to everlasting, who a watch in the night is as 1,000 years, we have learned to wait on the Lord with better understanding that indeed all is in His hands, and we don't look forward to this date, that date, and that date. We learned that beyond 1914, we are beholding the crushing of the nations, the leveling of the systems that be in preparation for the full establishment of the earthly phase of the kingdom. Time. And thus we must arm ourselves and as pupils plod right along day after day. It's not going to end tomorrow. I don't believe it's going to end next year. And so we must arm our minds, strengthen our minds to go right on in the school of Christ. Now, Paul advises all of these pupils to be very careful of the building material, or shall we say the research material that we would select in order to have the proper research material as we learn our lessons and progress in the school of Christ. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, and he tells us the reason why. Now, if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire of this day shall try every pupil's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, for he himself shall be saved, and yet so as by fire. We expect then that there will be difficulties and trials in the way. That's part of our learning in the school of Christ. Now, when you go to a lumber yard to obtain material, you usually look over the quality. Some of the boards have so many knots in it that there's no way of taking that. Some of the wood has been out in the sun that it actually corkscrews. Turns upside down half of it as the sun beats upon it. So we need to be careful of the quality of the research material or the building material that we use in this school of Christ. During the Dark Ages, our brethren could not obtain building material from any lumber yards at that time, as it were. We are told in Revelation 11:3 that the word of God was in sackcloth and ashes. Dead languages. The gospel truth, as it had been set up by the apostles and Jesus, had slowly been watered down and disappeared. An error took its place. The quality of the lumber was very poor. Oh, the Lord did assure us that he looked after his own in Revelation 12, 6 and 14. To the woman of verse 1, the virgin, this woman, and the infant church, went into the wilderness, fled into the wilderness, and there she was nourished for 1260 years. But it was a meager existence, just enough food, just enough research material, so that they could exist and grow under the difficulties of the condition. But in Revelation 11 and 11, we are told that these two witnesses were raised up to heaven. Of course, not literally, because the two witnesses are the Old and New Testament. Now, in the providence of God, as we come along in the Dark Ages and in this school of Christ, provision now was going to be made for a high-quality material would once again reach the people of the land. And someone has already mentioned, we'll mention again, that from 1803 to 1813, we find that there were a lot of Bible societies sprung up. And we'd like to liken them unto spiritual lumber yards. Well stocked. And while access to the Word was once again available, do you know that the same question which had been asked by the Ethiopian eunuch 1900 years before was being asked by thousands at that time, 1803, 1813, how can I understand except someone should guide me? They came out of the Dark Ages. Indeed, there was access to the Word of God, but understanding of what was there was needed. How can I? It's on the lips of thousands of people. How can I except someone would guide me? Now, let's remember, according to Songs of Solomon 8 and 5, the church class, those enrollees in this school, same school, were tired and weary, worn out. And how did they come out of the wilderness? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved's arm? Without the beloved's arm there, the master and the school, everything would...